I don't know if I got a reader. Whoops, don't. I will read it. Got two texts for you this morning, both in Hebrews. If you don't have your Bible, consider yourself yelled at. What are you doing in church without a Bible? And if you're really going to use your cell phone to read the Bible, you can do that. Otherwise, the person next to you can tear the cell phone out of your hands, bring it up, and put it on the altar. I can't expect much. Here we go. First section out of Hebrews 10. Hebrews is a fascinating book. We're in a section on faith coming up into it, and I'm reading right before and a little bit right after. So if you look at it, it's Hebrews 10, starting at verse 32. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, light meaning understanding and the ability to see what you couldn't see before, when you stood your ground in a great context in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult, persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. Possessions would also be properly translated there, because you knew that you yourselves had a better and lasting possession. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Our next text, if you look at it, is out of chapter 12. We're skipping the faith chapter, not on purpose. I'll allude to it, but I didn't want to read the whole thing for you, and we're doing only these first few verses here in 12. Therefore, since all the above before things are true, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And as you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Children, come down. If you're in high school, come down. Come on, you leakers. Drag them down, kids. Get your big sisters and brothers down here. Yeah, you can sit in the chairs. You don't have to sit on the floor in your skirts and stuff, obviously. I just needed more volunteers. Pull a kid up on your lap if you can. They're willing to let you. Sit there if you have to, or if you got jeans on, sit on laps or knees or something. Here we go. Good. Oh, Pastor Harmon, what are you going to do to us today? Well, we're having a race. It's called the race of life. Okay? And it's not going to be too complicated, except every once in a while, I will throw something in you may not be quite expecting. Okay? And it's not a race like I will step over people and elbow people and that kind of race, because I don't want anybody getting hurt. You're the illustration, and the illustration is not you getting hurt or something terrible like that. The race is basically, you'll go around here and around the church, and if I shout a new direction, then you've got to react to the new direction, because that's how life is, right? You think you're going along in a real nice day, and all of a sudden, whoop, you got to go change. Your life turns you in a new direction. You get a cold when you didn't think. It rains on a day you plan something for fun, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, anyway, if you're in high school, there will be a different set of rules. Do I have any grade school kids I missed? Get down to your grade school kid. There we go. You're, come on, come on, come on. Yeah, you guys thought you were going to get out of it. Drag them out. Anyway, I need you all to stand. Good. And the race, don't run. Just a kind of a gentle walk. Don't step on the little kids in front of you. The race will start. Only the problem is that all the high school kids have to have one of the guys or girls use only one leg, and they need someone to help them on the race. So the high school girls, yeah, so you understand, if you're crippled, you only got one good leg, she's your other leg, and she's got to help you. So find a partner, high school kids. Find a partner. Come on. Find a partner. One's crippled. You got to do your best to walk on one leg if you don't fall down or kill each other. All right. Start. No, no, just one. He's got one good leg. One person's normal and healthy. No, one girl's good. One girl's got a bad leg. So, and if you get tired in between, you can switch once in a while, but don't make it too obvious. All right, you ready? Start gently the race. Go. Not fast, not too fast. All the grade school kids have to walk backwards. Keep going. No, you're high school. Yeah, maybe they're not in high school yet. Yeah, all the little kids, you just start walking. All right, start walking. Very good. Wonderful. Good. All the girls have to close their eyes. You're going to need a guy to lead you. A lot of girls have said that, right? I need a guy. Did you hear her say that? A winner, two winners, three winners. I made it. No guy, look at these guys. Where's your chivalry? These girls are blind trying to get home. Get out there and help them. So much for guys helping the girls here. Sit back down. And someone go run in my office, get a bunch more candy. I just grabbed a bunch here. No, not you, the big people. Mark or someone. There, Brian, yes. All right. I did this to you on purpose because in real life, we kind of think the person goes, all right, you're going to have to do this race and just walk around the outside of the church, and you start walking, okay? What happens in real life, though, is things change. In real life, suddenly you think you're going out for a sport, or you think your family's going to stick together, or you think everything's going to turn out a certain way, and suddenly something changes. You break a leg, and you now have to spend 6 or 8 weeks with a broken leg, and you got to walk with crutches, and you got to hope that somebody else will help you. What you also find is the guys decided they weren't going to help the girls anyway. So sometimes when you need help, the people that should be giving you help never even thought of it. And I don't think our guys were necessarily mean. They just wanted to finish the race, and they couldn't figure out. Let the girls figure it out. Let the blind lead the blind or something. And you begin to understand. And so one of the things I want you to understand is our path in life is unpredictable. For every one of my kids, when they were born, I would look at them and I say, I want you to grow strong and healthy. I want you always to love me, and I want to always love you. And I will give up my life for you, child. When I held my first daughter, I held her in one hand because she was small enough. I have big hands. And I made all these promises to her, and she just goes, you know, she's fresh born, all right? So what is she going to do? But those promises were made, okay? But there were time in that daughter's life when she nearly died. There were times in that daughter's life when life did not go the way she wanted it to go. And there were times in that daughter's life when, even though my promise hasn't changed, the promise in her heart may not be there. And so things come in directions and in ways that you can't always anticipate. And it's going to be in the text. All right, did someone bring candy in? Oh, bring it on down, Mark. Good, another whole bag full. Fantastic. You're thinking good. Give one to Brian, give one to you, and we'll let everybody grab stuff. Here's my lesson in the big sermon, okay? In the big sermon, there's another bag there. Give one bag, you keep one bag, Brian the other one, Brian. There we go. I knew we'd get it done. Here's my lesson in the sermon. As you're going through life, you think it's going to turn out one way, and it may not turn out that way. All right, no candy yet. I got to finish talking. Otherwise, they think about candy. All right. Yeah, boy, these adults, you know. Look at these guys. They're just staring at the candy bags anyway. That's all. I hope I can get one of those, and there's some of that left. Anyway, in the big people sermon, which you now can explain, is that you're going to be taught what the scripture says, is that there is a race marked out for you. How many of you kids run cross country? Anyone run cross country ever? In cross country, you run through the woods and up and down hills and sometimes across little creeks and different things. And the race is marked sometimes by a yellow line or a white line on the ground or little flags or whatever the case might be. And then you have to run the race marked out for you. Here's the hard part. Just because you're who you are doesn't mean you're going to get an easy race. If I had hills, I would have said, all the girls, you've got to go up the hills. And all the guys, you can just take the flat parts. What's the first thing you'd want to shout? That's not fair. You're normal. But I want you to listen to what the sermon talks about, because it talks about running the race marked out before you and running it with a certain attitude. Because in some cases, those things don't change. And you have to wear glasses. Or your foot doesn't quite heal all the way. Or the person you thought would love you forever doesn't. Or the family you thought you could trust kind of lets you down. And so that's what we're going to be talking about in the Big People Sermon today. I want to thank all my teens and grade school kids for semi-volunteering, being gracious enough to come up and be so good. Please, all of you, grab candy before you sit back down. Help yourself. Both bags are out there.
Thank you, Pastor.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome, you're welcome. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Mark. Just throw it behind the altar. Just keep it, take it back that way. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. I'm sorry. And there's candy up here for all of the adults who didn't feel like I was being kind to them. But you can't get it till after the service, so you got to pretend to pay attention. I was struck by all the challenges that are in front of us. We got a voting week this next week, I believe, isn't it? And get off your butt and vote. And who you vote for does matter. And the leaders we choose are either blessings or cursings, and you should know what they believe, and you should know whether they hand the hand of God on them or maybe not the hand of God. And don't make excuses like we all like to make, which is, it's so confusing, I can't stand the commercials anymore, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Find out who's on your ballot. Find out who these individuals are. Find out what they support and who and what they do. And be accountable for that. People have lived and died so that you can get this vote. This is not a small thing. This is a huge thing. Okay? When we've got kids whining about someone telling them they're ugly in college as a freshman or sophomore, 50, 60 years ago, there were freshmen and sophomore boys and girls, boys mostly at the time, going into the beaches of Normandy and preserving life and freedom for our country. And so the last thing we should do is be whining in one sense. So I started with that kind of a theme, and I didn't want to just talk about voting because it really wasn't about voting per se, and you're usually really good about that, but I just wanted to to say that, because I know you need to hear that, and I need to have that same kind of discipline and things like that. But there is something else that that struck me as we started to look at this particular sequence, and I came to the passage in 12, which I read to you. That's the second one I read, chapter 12. It says, and we're surrounded by these witnesses. Let's throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily slows us down, and run with perseverance the race marked out for us. See that phrase? When the kids came up, they didn't know they'd have to have one leg go bad. They didn't know they were going to be blind halfway through life. They didn't know that the guys who should have been gentlemen weren't there to help them. They didn't, you understand? And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's the way real life is. There is a race marked out for us. And it is not like necessarily the person's race on your left or right. You see, some girl had to help some other girl because she was a cripple. Well, that's not quite what she had planned for her life. Then when they both went blind, they both had a set of circumstances that touched them very personally. And although they squinted, I saw it because they made it down the aisles and everything. Okay, we didn't lose any of them. But having done that, you start to understand. Life moves us in directions that we can't always anticipate. And so the key phrasing here that I want you to start with, the race marked out for us. Why would God permit me to be as dumb as I am? I know a lot of people like to say it a different way. How come God lets so many bad things happen in my life? And I go, God didn't make me jump off a roof. God didn't make me, I don't even want to say all the other things, all the kids are paying attention. You know, all the dumb, stupid, foolish, illegal in some cases things I did. Why would God let me do that? And then be able to look at somebody else or recognize that we all struggle with different things. There is a whole process in who I am at this point in my life, and I can't even guarantee I'll make it through till tomorrow, and neither can you. The race marked out before you, you don't get to mark. You get to plan. You get to anticipate. You get to go, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to accomplish this. I'm going to play or run or be in this athletic thing or event or get this scholarship or whatever else happens. And things can suddenly go in a direction you didn't expect. None of those 15, 14, 13-year-olds prior to America entering the Second World War anticipated when they turned 18, 19, and 20, being called to march, swim, run up a beach to try and rescue a bunch of Europeans that they didn't know very much about at all, because that was what their country was calling on them to do. None of them anticipated dying and having parts of their body blown off at that particular young age, or all the other things that they were called to do, because it wasn't in the original plan. But there's something you've got to recognize. And it's a characteristic that the people of God got to hold on to, no matter whether the path in front of you makes sense or whether it takes a wicked, nasty, evil turn, where somebody you trust and rely on lets you down, where something you anticipated in life does not mature, does not benefit, does not work out the way you anticipated. Because you're not alone in that. That's why I picked most of the young kids, because I didn't want us, because I'd probably be walking on one leg and fall down on my face. And that, but I picked them because they're young enough to still pull that stuff off. And I go, here's the issue. When he says this, he says, let's run the race marked out before us. You don't have to like the race. I remember I had three kids run cross country, and there were certain cross country routes that were mostly flat hills. And then they had to run through woods and a few other places. But there were a few of those routes where they had to run up this stinking hill. /Big Hill. All right? And I go, I didn't want to walk to the top of the hill to watch the race. And they had to run up it twice because they had to go around the field twice. And you go, you understand, you don't get to pick. You don't, and this text doesn't permit you the privilege of picking. But it does tell you this. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And now you begin to understand the word perseverance. Because the concept of the word perseverance has to do with this idea of being completely committed, unwilling to quit. To persevere means to live with joy in whatever circumstance I have. I probably won't win the race if I've got to walk around the church with one leg. I probably won't win the race the same way I anticipated if I've got to help carry this person with one leg. I probably won't do so well, and I can easily trip and fall if I'm blinded. And my life at different points, all of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are in the middle of grade school and preschool, and your life may not quite turn out the way you thought even at that age. Some of you have dealt with the heartbreak of dating some guy or girl and having them lie to you through their teeth and et cetera, and who knows what when you were in high school or college. Some of you remember the heartbreaks that go on with that. You remember the accidents, the broken legs, the broken arms, the breakdown of vehicles, the things that you thought were going to cost this much money suddenly cost this much money. You walk through life with all kinds of different circumstances, and you and I can't predict them because the race marked out before us is not necessarily the race that we would choose for ourselves. Anyone want to volunteer to carry me around if I'm a cripple? No. Will you do it? Now you understand what he's challenging us with. He's not telling us it's going to be easy. He's not telling you it's going to turn out just the way you want it to in the circumstances of life. He's telling you that how you walk around the church is of greater significance than whether or not you have one leg, both legs, are walking forward or backward, or whether you're blinded by something. The event is, how are you walking? Have you taken the time to understand the poor girl standing next to you have just been blinded by a set of circumstances? And you were so busy being a guy, you didn't even notice they were blind. Are we really that capable of being so cold and distant and busy and maybe not even intentionally evil? The answer is yes. Why is it you're in this race crippled? Because even a cripple can help a blind person. Do you understand? It isn't the circumstances that we're supposed to stare at. What do you and I stare at? I stare at the comparison, don't you? Well, look how young and healthy he is. Look how strong they are. Look what she gets to do. Look at the nice car. Look at the house. And you can go through all those things, and you rattle them through, and you've got your own little agenda about that. And the point is, God looks at you and says, have I ever told you, stare at what somebody else has so that you can covet it, so that you can feel sorry for yourself? You understand, the text is not going to let us do that. The text is going to say very clearly, very simply, you're going to have to persevere. All right? I think a cross-country race helped me. It's 3.2 something or whatever. How many miles? It's long. It's about 3.2. Thank you. Yeah, I used to run cross-country. No? Okay. Used to run, do track. Okay. But you understand, you're going to have to persevere because if you've ever seen kids come across the goal line or the finish line, they come home puking. They come home, they fall on the ground, holding their guts sometimes. And they go, what did they demonstrate? Here's the word, perseverance. They finished the race. I used to tell my kids, the fact that you finished is awesome. And if you manage to go from 36th up to 22nd one day, and you cut 2 minutes or 7 minutes or whatever, fantastic. But you persevered. And it's part of the challenge that we have to hear. So he goes on and he points out and he says, backing up a little bit more, it says, throw off the things that hinder you. Throw away the sins that, you know, have you ever been so jealous you spend half your time being jealous of what somebody else has and you don't? Well, look how nice their life is compared to mine. I have to carry, I have to walk, I have to walk backwards. I am so blinded in one eye, I can't see. You know, all the different things, and you spend your whole life living in this grumbly world. You ever done that with your wife or husband? Shut up. Shut up. Who are you where God has permitted you? I want you to walk through life grumbling about the quality of your wife or husband. I want you to continuously do comparisons between your children and her children, his children. Has God invited us to do that? He said, no, you run your race. But all my kids aren't turning out the way I want. You run your race. You have no idea why this event or this situation is happening to you, because this is the hard part. I know who marked my race out, but I don't know why he marked it the way he did. That becomes the challenge. That becomes the awareness that we have to grapple with. And you begin to understand, why did God, in my little children's sermon example, why did God suddenly shout, all the women are blind? So that all the young men would never miss an opportunity to help somebody else. Here's what the women did wrong. I only heard a couple of them shout for help. Open your mouth, ask for help. Guys, we're blind! Get back here! You know, in that game, whatever you want to call it, the illustration, it's meant to be fun, it's meant to be safe, but it's also meant to teach us those lessons. You have to understand, sometimes people are so absorbed in their life and they're busy with their little things that they forget that sometimes life goes in a different direction and the person next to you, behind you, in front of you really needs some special amount of love, some special amount of care this week because something happened in their circumstance. And you have to do two things. One, be ready to hear help, but also be willing to shout it out. And so you begin to understand as we look at this, let's throw aside everything that hinders us. Well, I just get so embarrassed. Throw it aside. Well, I've always struggled with pride. Get rid of it. Whatever your sin is, whatever it is that hinders you from walking this race or carrying this race out with great diligence, cast it aside. You ever seen those rescue movies where they have to rescue and survive, and you start emptying out their backpack and the things that they throw, this is a necessity, and this we can throw aside, and pretty soon they're down to the actual components of whatever it is they're going to need to hopefully survive. That's part of the illustration that he's doing. Then he goes on, sin that easily entangles. The concept of tangling you up is that you don't always see the tangle coming. And if you've ever had to comb little girls' hair, particularly because it's so much longer, but you ever have to comb the curls or the tangles out? Dad, it hurts! I'm sorry. Get me the big brush. You know, the one that's got three teeth in it? You know, you pull out one piece of hair at a time or something. That they can. But I go, tangle. All right? It is that thing that entwines itself around your feet and trips you up. It's that loose shoelace that you think isn't a big deal, that suddenly you accidentally step on and you land flat on your face. Get rid of the sins that entangle you. And then he finishes it off. Let us set our eyes, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I love those two words. Don't be bragging about your faith. Lord Jesus, you started this faith in me. Perfect it. The word perfect thereby doesn't mean let it be flawless. It means complete it. Finish it off, Lord, so that I finish the race well, so that I have a faith that does not quit, even if I'm walking backwards with my eyes closed, even if I'm crippled and carrying somebody else with me. Help me to finish well, Lord. Why? Because my faith is resting on you. You are the author of my faith. You've already claimed me as yours. You've already won the victory. It is finished. Is literally a part of this verse. Watch. Okay? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter. That could be the word finisher right there already, but completer of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. You married her. You married him. How's your cross working out? I didn't think it was going to be like this. You're normal. Everybody understands what it's like to quit. Everybody understands the feelings and emotions. Or if I really would have given only the first person across the finish line a big prize of $100 or something, all the other people would walk away angry going, that's not fair. They could just walk around the whole thing as fast as they wanted to. They had nothing that held them up. And so what is Jesus, you know, what is the author here using Jesus as the example? He says, would you look at Jesus? Any of you want his 12 followers? Where were they? Where were they when you needed them? They all deserted you. Not just, you know, not just Peter. Not just Judas. They all took off. You understand? Here he's going on and says, listen, because I don't know where your race is at. And you might have a tough week, month, or year. But you may end up far better off than you understand. And you may be teaching and experiencing lessons and giving something that you can't comprehend out to the world, out to your children, out to your family, out to the extended people that watch you. He goes like this. He endured the cross, scorned its shame, just threw it aside, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He got and won the race. It wasn't about the suffering. It was about the faithfulness that he committed to, even if it took the suffering. Is there any other way to do this, Father? No, Jesus, it's not. Then as you wish, your will be done. Consider him. That means focus on him. Look at him. Don't be staring at some guy's wife or husband. Don't be staring at somebody else's life or family. Don't be looking at somebody else's income. Don't be looking at anything else. Because the people God has you on the race to save, haven't you ever heard those stories where some guy is coming across from Europe with $22 in his pocket and it turns out that he starts this and does that and door opens up and suddenly you read about a famous guy like JCPenney or somebody else that just turns everything upside down. You have to understand, you and I know who the marker of the race is, but we don't know why he marked it like he did. And here's the sad part. Sometimes you don't run according to the race marked for you. You break the rule. God says, here, go this way. Follow the line, follow the line. No, thank you. And you walk off on your own. Now, I can do this now because you can understand the word. Recalculating. Your GPS do that? Mine no longer says anything like that, but remember when they did? They used to say, shut up. You better turn around. Shut up. Here we go. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men. So that. You're never going to get refreshed looking at other people. There's already somebody else in the congregation, group, world, country, culture that has more than you, better than you, different than you. There's always this kind of invisible set of expectations you have up in your head. And you kind of go, well, and you just kind of, I'm so disappointed. Why? Because my husband doesn't do this for me. And I said, did you see that in a movie? My wife doesn't do that for me. Did you see that in a movie? Yeah. Well, stop watching movies then or something. You begin to understand. He goes here. So that you won't grow weary and lose heart. Yeah, the politics and the garbage around our culture, not any fun at all. Quit whining. All of us. And please understand, those of you know me well enough, I'm preaching the sermon to myself. Okay? This is not your whiners. This is Bruce, stop whining. Start experiencing the joy of running the race at this particular point in time. And if the point in time comes where they're going to ask me to march up some shores of Normandy to save my culture, country, family, or whatever it is, Lord God, give me the courage to do whatever it is I have to live through, go through, and survive and deal with. Maybe it's not going to be as heroic as the beach of Normandy, but it is just as heroic in the eyes of God. Those girls helping each other were just as heroic in the eyes of God, in a sense, you have to use this in the right sense, as the guys who marched up the beach of Normandy. You ran your race. You did it with joy. You were committed to it. And when it came at you from a different direction, you continued to fix your eyes on the author and perfecter of your faith. Otherwise, you want to stare in the mirror and beat yourself up and go, why are you doing that? Is God look at you and say, you big loser, you, how much I hate you. You're now 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, and you've gotten ugly. God didn't talk like that. Never. It isn't his character, and it isn't, so he said, would you please fix your eyes on me, the author and the perfecter of your faith? Because that's what you're going to need to persevere so that when the race marked out before you goes in a direction you didn't anticipate, you can run that race with such confidence and diligence that nothing can stop you. Because in that process, you begin to understand. And just going backwards, let's a little bit backwards to the verses I read you out of 10. So then do not throw away your confidence. This is verse 35. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you'll receive what he promised. What a neat sharing. The Almighty God keeps his promises. How appropriate to have it connect with this thought. I'll give you what I promised you. Yeah, but you didn't say I'd have to go through it on one leg. No. Nope. You didn't say I'd have to go through it blind. Nope. What are you going to do? I'm going to set my eyes on you, Jesus. And in you, my author and perfecter of my faith, I will put my trust. Pray with me. Lord, toughen us up. Help us to live out our life. Seeing your call upon our heart. Give us new eyes to look at wives and husbands, children, family, jobs. Futures in all the ways that are possible, Lord. Teach us that living and dying is a part of the race. And in one sense, that's marked out for us too. But we can live and die with great bitterness, anger, and hurt. Or we can live and die, Lord, trusting that you're working in the middle of it to teach us lessons that we need to learn. That you are perfecting, completing, fulfilling the faith that you've started in us. So that we walk with greater and greater integrity every day. Come and bless your people to that end. We pray your mercy and grace over all of us. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen. As the offering is received, I pray.